JC Corcoran Podcast.
I've used every swear man. Across the desert, fair man. In the mountain, air man. Cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. I've used cocksucker, motherfucker, asshole, shit, sucker, dick, wad, fuck, wad, shit, dick, ass, prick, blowjob, cock, drop, bitch, ass, nut job, pen, dick, big prick, suck, dick, ass, shit, ass, back, bag, hack, cum, leg, dirt, bag, dog, fuck, non, crotch, stink, puss, job. I've used every swear, man. Cross the desert, fair man. In the mountain, air man. Cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. I've used ass, wife, ass, clown, bumble, fuck, shit, clown, chicken, chuffle, clisson, fuck, cum, bubble, cunt, fuck, dick, face, dip, shit, douchebag, fuck, wet, ass, rag, dick, smack, cock, butt, click, hat, hoochie, mama, finger, head, fuck, tar, dick, head, punk, ass, jack, shit, butt, ranger, dick, lick.
I've used every swear, man, cross the desert, fair man, in the mountain, air man, cussing like I got no cares, man, I've used every swear.
I've used ass, blast, ass, friend, ass, breath, ass, white, bean, flick, butt, munch, candy, ass, butt, white, chicken, chick, cock, holster, cunt, sucker, dick, brain, dick, wad, dick, head, dick, munch, dick, paint, dumb, fuck, fart, knuckle, fuck, a bitch, fuck, head, fuck, face, fudge, packer, jizz, mop, a whole back.
I've used every swear, man, cross the desert, fair man, in the mountain, air man, cussing like I got no cares, man, I've used every swear.
I've used cocksucker, motherfucker, asshole, shit, sucker, dick, wad, fuck, wad, shit, dick, ass, prick, blowjob, cock, drop, bitch, ass, nut job, pen, dick, big prick, suck, dick, ass, shit, ass, back, fag, head, cum, leg, dirt, back, dog, fuck, non, crotch, stink, puss, jump.
I've used every swear, man, cross the desert, fair man, in my underwear, man, cussing like I got no cares, man, I've used every swear. Oh, I've used every swear.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
JC Corcoran Podcast for the 29th of June 2021 is coming your way here at jconline.com. Sorry about Friday and about yesterday. We had a death in the family. The 97-year-old grandmother of my wife passed away a couple of days ago, and so we were all involved in the funeral service yesterday. What a great run. 97 years old. We've talked about this before, but I always think of it in terms of men. I don't know why, probably because I am a guy. I don't know. But you were talking about like Andy Rooney. I think it was like 92 or 93 when he passed away. And you think about, you know, just how difficult it is at that age to get out of bed every day and to get your, just think about getting your socks on. You're a 92-year-old man. You're just trying to get your socks on every day. And that son of a gun went to work every single day. I mean, he worked for CBS pretty much until he dropped dead. So it's one of those things where you think to yourself, wow, 97 years old, almost 100 years old. Also, the first time I had attended Mass, I was not consulted about the plans yesterday, but first time I had been in attendance of a Mass in, it has to be more than 20 years, and the absurdity of the entire thing struck me. I'm sorry. If this is something that you, it's like George Carlin used to say, religion is like a lift in your shoes. You know, a lot of people don't need it, but if you have a little lift in your shoes, that's what religion is. And for some people, that's what they need. And it doesn't mean, though, that it makes any sense to the rest of us. But all that's stand up, sit down, kneel, stand up, sit down, kneel. I also noticed that they have added little musical interludes now. If there's like a little dead spot in the proceedings. It's like watching Friends or something when they, you know, wipe from a scene in the apartment to a scene at the coffee shop. And they go, dun, 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 you know, or Leave It to Beaver. And that's what they do in church now. There's like a little musical interlude when they go from one segment to another. Like I said, I'm not ridiculing you. If this is something that you want and you need in your life, you go right ahead. It's not for me. And then we had a little reception at Maggiano's across from the Galleria. And then I spent the rest of the afternoon at Weber Chevrolet, where today, in a couple of hours, I'm going to go pick up another Chevy Equinox, a little bit more recent model. Mine is just getting a little old, so I picked one out yesterday. It's a beauty, and I'll be talking about that a lot. Well, do you let people smoke in your house? 8 out of 10 Americans do not allow smoking in their homes. That's almost double from 20 years ago. The states with the highest percentage of adult smokers, West Virginia and Kentucky, each at about 25%. And the states with the lowest are Utah and California at just about 11%. You want to hear a weird one? This just came flying out of nowhere. JonBenet Ramsey and a little girl who was, I don't know, kidnapped, abused, and then murdered. And their, you know, Colorado Police Department really screwed up the investigation. And we will probably never know who did it. You had that crazy guy, like in the Philippines or something, who used to sit at an internet cafe and brag about the fact that he was involved in the murder. And it was like he's wearing a golf shirt with all the buttons buttoned right up to the neck, right up to the neck. It was the first indication that something's wrong. And he kept like saying, I was there with her. I was there with her. And then they investigated and found out that he was just trying to get on TV or something like that. But anyhow, JonBenet Ramsey, born 9 days before Jennifer Lawrence. JonBenet Ramsey, born August 6, 1990. Jennifer Lawrence, born on August 15th, 1990. Now, I'll tell you what I think of this next story in just a couple of seconds. But you know, it's been a weird year and a half, obviously, for a lot of people. And with everybody stuck inside, a new poll looked at the big life changes Americans made last year. All right, so we started at the bottom. Had a baby or adopted, 3%. Got married, 3%. Retired, 4%. Added a swimming pool, 4%. Bought a new house or condo, 6%. Started a business from home, 7%. Moved to a new city or state, 9%. Bought a car or motorcycle, 11%. Renovated the house, 13%. And 18%, number one answer, did it in 2020, adopted a pet. But the way the story is being written is sort of like, well, you know, it's had a, you know, the pandemic has had really, really interesting influence on people. Look at all the things they did. Well, did you hear the list? Isn't that the stuff that we would do normally anyhow, with or without a pandemic? Sorry, I got alarms and buzzers going off all the time. We're going to that ELO tribute show out at the Powerplex on Friday night. Jeff Faulkner, great guy, had him on the air. And, you know, we saw this thing about 2 years ago. It was only their second performance of this ELO tribute thing. St. Louis is a big, big town for tribute bands, by the way. It's not like this everywhere else. But anyhow, so the big show is at the Powerplex on Friday night. And not only the weather for that event on Friday, but also the weather right on through the holiday weekend looks strange. Temperatures overnight in the mid-60s, and high temperatures on Friday and Saturday may not get out of the upper 70s. Now, I have mixed emotions about that because, as far as I'm concerned, 4th of July means pool, pool, pool. And, you know, it's 65 overnight, and unless you have a heater for your pool, that water is going to chill down, baby. Now, if you got anything else to do, well, the weather's just going to be sensational. Can you imagine that? That the show on Friday night outside at the Powerplex with the ELO tribute band and maybe temperatures about 70 degrees? Can you believe it? In the meantime, Canada is finding out one of the things that we complain about the summer, and that is heat. The whole Pacific Northwest and even into southwestern Canada, just crazy. Just crazy. It's so hot in Salem, Oregon, southwest of Portland. Temperature reached 117 degrees yesterday, which is a record for the city. And that's not like the heat index. That's the actual thermometer saying it's 117. In Portland, it was 115. That temperature the highest ever recorded since historical records began in, well, it says 1940. Pretty sure they mean 1840. Portland's average high temperature for this time of year, about 73 degrees. So hot in Seattle, they also broke a record for the highest temperature ever recorded there, 107. And there are excessive heat warnings for much of Washington and Oregon, as well as parts of California, Idaho, and Nevada. So hot in Canada right now, they have a new national record for the highest all-time temperature, Lytton, L-Y-T-T-O-N, Lytton, British Columbia, 118 yesterday in Canada. It's so hot in Washington State, roads are buckling. In Portland, transit cables are melting, and people are sharing photos of how tar is melting off train tracks. In Portland, vinyl siding blistering off houses. It's so hot that one person decided to bake cookies in their car. Another person cooked mini tacos in theirs, and another one fried an egg on a picnic table. So hot, there was a major run on ice cream at a store. Where was this? In Portland. Portland on Sunday was hotter than 99.8% of the planet Earth. OregonLive.com put out a list of 10 notoriously hot places around the world where it was cooler than Portland yesterday, including Vegas, Phoenix, Cairo, Mecca, and Saudi Arabia. This is all to do with something called a heat dome. It was created when the atmosphere trapped hot ocean air like a lid or a cap. Some areas will start getting relief today, but the cooling process will happen very gradually, and other regions still have not hit their peak. I don't know what you're going to do about fireworks. They are. This has been a story now for a while. There's a fireworks shortage, and I guess it has something to do with the pandemic. It seems like everything does. Wallet Hub, which is a website we get a lot of stuff for the show from, put out a list of the 100 best places in the U.S. for 4th of July celebrations. They considered things like public fanfare for the fireworks, affordability, attractions, activities, weather, safety, accessibility, all that sort of stuff. Now, keep in mind, for the last 40 years here in St. Louis, we have been told that the VP Fair and the fireworks displays that they do in conjunction with that is, quote-unquote, America's biggest birthday party, which has never been true, and it ain't true now. New York City, number one for fireworks, despite it being the least affordable among the 100 cities they looked at. San Francisco is two, Chicago, Minneapolis, Atlanta, Los Angeles, Seattle, D.C., San Diego, St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm not seeing St. Louis. Smaller cities didn't fare too well. Laredo, Texas, ranked lowest among the 100 places they considered. San Bernardino, California was the second worst, followed by Aurora, Colorado, and Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I checked, St. Louis is number 13. If you're doing the big barbecue and the picnic and all the sort of stuff that goes with the 4th of July holiday, a poll asked more than 16,000 people how they would like to divvy up their plates with both barbecue, mains, and sides. For the mains, burgers number one, 65% approval. Hot dogs are second, followed by ribs, sausages, chicken wings, pulled pork, brisket, pork chops, turkey burgers, and finally veggie burgers. And for sides, potato salad number one. I got some really good mustard potato salad from Schnucks yesterday. Man, oh man, was it good. Corn on the cob second, followed by baked beans, watermelon, chips, mac and cheese, coleslaw, potato salad, garden salad, cornbread, and other bread and rolls. And if you're thinking, oh God, I'm trying to do my summer body here, and all you're talking about is food off the grill, there's a new weight loss product called Dental Slim that uses, believe it or not, magnets to lock your mouth shut. So you're forced to stick to a liquid diet. People online think it looks like a medieval torture device, and I would concur. Our old traffic reporter, Lance Hildebrand, was dating a very, very cute girl once, and she busted her jaw, and they had to wire it shut. And we were doing a show from the Galleria, and she came in, hey, how you doing? I was sort of fascinated by the whole thing, and she's like, yeah, I have to have this on for another 6 weeks. And it was actually sort of scary. She had to have a pair of wire snips with her at all times. She showed me. She pulled them out of her back pocket. And there they were. Because if something were to happen let's just say she got some bad sushi or something like that, she started throwing up, she would end up choking on her own vomit. I know this is, I hope you're not eating breakfast while you're doing this. But yeah, so she had to have the wire snips just in case, as an emergency procedure would be necessary if something like that ever happened. So it was actually sort of scary. But she was very, very pretty, by the way, and was just taking it in stride. Speaking of food and burgers, 42-year-old guy in Iowa facing a felony charge after he called in a bomb threat at McDonald's because they forgot to include dipping sauce with his McNuggets. And I use the rule of 9 a.m., but if it's going to be 100 degrees outside that day, I use the rule of 7:30 in the morning, and you're going to have to deal with it. We're talking about mowing the lawn, 9 a.m. I think that's fair. Actually, it's the leaf blower that you use afterwards to clean up. It's probably louder and more offensive. But if it's going to be 100 degrees, I'm sorry, 7:30. I'm not going to go out there and mow the lawn when it's already hot. That's stupid. So people just have to understand, look, it's going to be 100. The lawn's got to be mowed at 7:30. And you know what? We're going for it. Mowing at night isn't good, partly because your neighbors will hate you, but you also shouldn't do it too early in the morning or in the middle of the day. Here's why. If you mow too early, like 7 o'clock in the morning, the grass might still be wet from the dew, and that can clog up your mower. Mowing in the middle of the day isn't great either because the heat can be hard on the freshly cut grass. And mowing too late isn't good either because your lawn needs time to recover before the sun goes down. Who knew your lawn was so sensitive? It's more prone to fungus and various diseases at night, too. So when is the best time to mow your lawn? According to lawn experts, the optimal time to mow is between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. Mowing at that point in the day avoids all those other problems, or if you're not a morning person, late afternoon is fine too, between 4 and 6. In terms of politics, I've been very busy the last couple of days with all this family stuff, so I haven't really been paying much attention. And honestly, with as many games that there are on that I have to watch to know what I'm talking about here, as the Cardinals, you know, the big win last night, but obviously the pressure has got, you know, on this team right now and on the management team. This is unacceptable to Cardinal Nation, what's been going on here. And if Carlos Martinez is still on the roster next year, and if Matt Carpenter is still on the roster next year, there's going to be a problem. I'll start watching tennis and golf during the summer. I'm not going to put myself through this again. But the point I'm trying to make is that I, even if I didn't have family obligations and having been on the road here for much of the last couple of days, I don't think I would have sat there and watched Donald Trump and his first rally since the January 6th insurrection. This was the other night. And the other thing about it is I can always see a better version of this sort of stuff just by watching the highlights during Colbert's monologue. He was on fire last night.
But he did delight the crowd with one of his patented "I smell toast" moments.
America is still the nation that conquered the Wild West, that vanquished the murderous dictators, that ended the evil empires, and that sent a brave young man from Ohio to a plant.
Really? To a plant. Yes, he was a brave young man from Ohio named Jack, and the nation sent him to climb that beanstalk where he skyrocketed to fee-fi-fo fame. He continued fumbling, flailing, and failing to remember the name of the first man on the moon.
Do you know who the man I'm talking about is? Who am I talking about? Do you know who it is? The stars and stripes on the face of the moon. You know who the man is, right?
He's trying to talk about Neil Armstrong, but he said plant when he meant planet, which is not where Neil Armstrong went. That's definitely not right. That's like trying to describe George Washington by saying, you know who I mean. The guy on the money and with the teeth made out of the cherry tree, with the painting of him crossing the deli meats, you know. Then he had more trouble with the words.
if you care about law and order.
Yes. We all remember the spinoff, Law and Auto.
In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the police who investigate crime and the car which drives them to the crime.
Just great writing, great observations, just great stuff. All right, some show business stuff right now. What do we got? Floyd Mayweather Jr. actually admitted that his match with Logan Paul there a couple of weeks ago was a fake fight. He said he made $100 million from it. He also called himself the best bank robber in boxing. Elton John is a big spender because of his upbringing. He said his parents would argue a lot, and he often found refuge in his bedroom where inanimate objects gave him comfort. All right, I know people still arguing about this. People disappointed by the sort of lame government report on UFOs that a lot of people had high expectations for and were very, very disappointed. Tonight on Fox, 7 o'clock, a one-hour special about any suspicions that could arise from that Pentagon UFO report, including a government cover-up and retaliation against some people for pressing for the truth. Late night, Colbert has the cast of F9, including Vin Diesel and Helen Mirren, people like that, John Cena, Ludacris, James Corden, Steve Buscemi, and that is the correct pronunciation, and also Ed Sheeran. For a guy who is the nephew of big, old, fat, ugly George Wendt from Cheers, Jason Sudeikis out of Kansas City sure does okay with the women. Olivia Wilde gone in to replace her from the bullpen, the incredible topless model, Keely Hazel. They're a couple now. They're still looking for the they're still looking for the woman who caused that crash at the Tour de France. The word is she's German and she left the country immediately. Wouldn't you? Harry Connick Jr. is going to play Danny Warbucks in NBC's Annie Live, which I'm just guessing is coming up on one of the holidays in the fall. Harry Connick Jr. is a very, very cool guy. I've had the opportunity to meet him and interview him and just hang out with him a little bit. This guy, he's just great. He's terrific. And the new season of Dexter is somehow bringing back John Lithgow's Trinity Killer. Now, that character is dead, so is he going to start appearing to Dexter the way Dexter's father sometimes appears to him? Birthdays today, Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls, 43. Colin Hay, Men at Work, 68. Dan Dierdorf, 72. Fred Grandy from The Love Boat, 73. Richard Lewis, 74. Gary Busey, 77. 54 years ago today, 1967, Jane Mansfield was only 34, killed when the car she was riding in slammed into the back of a semi-trailer. Jane's daughter and two sons were in the back seat of the car, escaped the crash with minor injuries. Of course, one of those daughters, Mariska Hargitay, she was only 3 at the time, has no memory of the accident. And I do not think it's an exaggeration at all to say that the world changed 14 years ago and changed permanently in 2007 when the first iPhone went on sale. 4 gigs of storage, a 3.5-inch screen, and the price, $499. I don't have to tell you when you're on a long car ride, and we were, took 2 days, stopped overnight in Atlanta with some friends of ours, and then, you know, continued on to St. Louis. When you're in the car that long, it's like suddenly you start feeling like you've heard every song the radio is playing, even on satellite radio. It's like, didn't we just hear this like 3 hours ago? That's a great idea. Pay, you know, whatever it is for satellite radio, $20 a month, I don't know, and they do the same thing to you on satellite radio that they do to you on over-the-air music radio. They just keep playing the same goddamn songs over and over and over again. And now you're paying for it. Oh, but we don't get any commercials. It's like saying, here, have a big plate of liver. I don't like liver. Well, but it doesn't have any bones. Yeah, but it's still liver. So you're driving along in the car going, let's just listen to something different. You listen to the Soul Channel for a while. And then we ended up on the Sinatra station. And that was actually pretty cool. And it got me thinking about our buddy Larry Miller. Larry Miller was a great stand-up comedian. Used to do Letterman and The Tonight Show all the time. He was just fabulous. I saw his stand-up a couple of different times. He was just always funny, always funny. And then he had that really funny role on the Rodeo Drive snooty clothing shop that Julia Roberts went into in the movie Pretty Woman. And then he was in all of those Christopher Guest movies, like Waiting for Guffman and Best in Show. I don't know, about 10 or 12 years ago, he almost died. He was coming out of a restaurant or something and missed a step, I guess it was, slipped, fell backwards, hit the back of his head, and I guess his brain started swelling. They had to drill a hole in his head to, you know, let out fluid, and he was really, really in bad shape there for a while. The last time I saw him on Letterman, he did not look that good. But he did the show many times. We had him in the studio a couple of times. He's a great guy, and told on our show arguably one of the best stories ever, and it involves Frank Sinatra and something that none of us would have ever known anything about. Our JC Celebrity A-List interview of the day, comedian Larry Miller.
I was doing a benefit for a charity in Los Angeles, and apparently Nancy Sinatra was in the audience, and I guess she liked me, and she called her dad, and the next day I was renting a tux and flying to Vegas for the first time to work, and I opened for Frank Sinatra at the what was then the Bally Grand Hotel in Los, about 5 years ago, and 6 years ago, and well, five and a half. No, come to think of it. Larry, come on, Larry. And it was just thrilling. My first time in Vegas anyway, and although I could call it Vegas, even then, I think, you know. First town. It's a great town.
Drop the loss.
First time in the Rat Pack. But really, first time in Las Vegas, and you know, this gorgeous hotel. They really big dressing room with like a living room, bar, kitchen, and bedroom area.
Yeah, those really tight pants and pointy shoes, the whole thing. Yeah, skinny tie, yeah.
No, that's today. That's what I'm wearing now. And the point is, but I have no entourage, to say the least. I don't need one anyway at any point. Yeah. But you know, even in years to come, I don't see that happening. But I didn't even have agents at that point, so I'm there all alone, and I hang up the rented tux.
No,
and I'm standing there. Yeah,
I can see Larry at the tux place on Sunset. I need this tux by 8. I'm leaving to go to Vegas. I'm opening for Sinatra tomorrow.
It's like, yeah.
Well,
right.
Actually,
I'm gonna need it for another 2 days.
For whatever it's worth, my way is that it's sort of unseemly to say that sort of thing anyway. So when I rented the tux, you know, they just say, oh, some guy, yeah, 1 minute, pal. You know, you wouldn't, you know, it's just not quite right to say, gee, I'm kind of in a hurry because I have to, show's in an hour. But anyway, I'm standing there, so finally, like a knucklehead, I said, well, might as well get dressed. And I take off my clothes, and I'm just there in my boxer shorts, and the pants are down at the ankles, and I've no shirt on. And there's a knock on the door, and I kind of lean my head into the living room area, and the door opens, and an older man just leans in with his finger and, you know, like crooks his finger at me, and I kind of, and he disappears back around the door, and I said, what the heck would, gee, I don't. So I did that, the classic guy thing, the Frankenstein walk with the pants down,
the
you know,
step.
Yeah, into the living room, and just as I get in the living room,
the Frankenstein walk,
yeah, you know, that kind of big shoe stutter step, and
there was a joke there,
right? And just as I get there, and I'm there with the pants down and the boxer shorts and no shirt, at that second, now around the door comes Sinatra with that tux of his that's always poured on. It looks just so,
right.
No one has ever looked better in a tux than Sinatra.
Yeah.
And even at that point, he was 75, I guess, at that point, but still looking wonderful and big blue eyes, and he's got his hand held out and a big smile. And now, whatever you do, it's no good, because if you try to pull your pants up,
he's standing there with his hand out.
Unfortunate, right? He still has his hand out.
Right.
And if you're just standing there in your underwear, that's no good either. So you're twixt the rock and the hard place, but still you just held. I put my hand out, and he takes it, covers my hand with his. He just says, he's, you know, close up, he says, just want to tell you, Larry, very, very happy to have you here. My daughter Nancy says you're a very, very funny guy, and don't you worry. I know it's your first time here. You'll be great. Just have fun. And the little pinch, the cheek, the thing, the big wink, and he was so nice, and I'm, you know, just, well, I'm so, just thank you, you know, I'm very, And you know, your pants are on the floor. And, right, and your pants are on the floor, and you go, and he hasn't said anything about this, by the way. He's just shaking my hand.
He's a pro, that's why.
Yeah, that's right. Still just shaking
my hand.
Well,
he's been there before. That's
you know, I hadn't thought of that. Maybe he assumed there was someone else in around the corner. There wasn't, by the way. There could have been. Don't kid yourself for a second. But the point is, there is a point to this. And here it comes. As he does, finishes with the handshake, the wink, you know, and it's so nice. And then he just says, okay, we'll see you later. And he just turns around and strolls out. And as he's leaving, without turning around, over his shoulder, he says, well, by the way, if that's in your act, I hope you close with it.
Comedian Larry Miller right there, and that puts a wrap on the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, the 29th of June, 2021, here at jcontheline.com. As I said, sorry about Friday and Monday. Like I said, the family considerations came first, but we're back and loaded and ready to roll, and please help us out. Continue to tell your friends, family, coworkers, stuff like that, strangers on the street that we're here every weekday morning, bright and early at 7 a.m. with a fresh podcast Monday through Friday at jcontheline.com. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'm going to go pick up my brand new car from Weber Chevrolet. We'll talk about it tomorrow. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.